Gigi an dá referen dús aniu, and the hard work is continuing in 27 count centres across the country to determine the results in both the family and care referendums. But we're going to go first to Dublin Castle, where the national results will be declared later this afternoon, and to our reporter Barry Lenehan. Barry, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Colm.
Still early doors, but we're coming with the usual health warnings on tallies, etc. You're keeping an eye on all of that. What's the state of play as we know it now?
Yeah, well, some counting is ongoing, boxes opening in other areas, full tallies in some parts, no tallies or information at all in others. But mix it all in a cocktail, the story is rather clear. We're going to have two no votes, and indeed the strength of the rejection could be rather strong. It's trending up to 2-1 to 3-1 in parts of the country. Here's the state of play. In Ulster and Cavan Monaghan, 70% looking like a no vote, around 80% in rural parts of the constituency around Killeshandra. In Donegal, the vote is as high as 10-1 no in both votes in parts of the county. In Connacht, remember, the islands voting with the mainland for the first time in a count in this country, including two votes going in the box from Inishbeagle off County Mayo to the count centre in Castlebar. A strong no vote in Mayo. In Galway West, a no vote expected there as well. In East Galway, 70-75% no, with the rural area of Barna Jarrig returning at 88%. No vote and tallies there outside Toom. Roscommon also a strong no. That's the home of Michael Fitzmaurice. His Independent Ireland Party canvassed for a no vote. Resounding no vote in Sligo as well. In Clare, limited information, but again, it looks like a resounding no. While in Limerick, one of the count staff there had the unenviable task of removing a bat from the count centre earlier on. The Limerick Sinn Féin TD Maurice Quinlivan, speaking at the count centre in the past few minutes, has called for Roderick O'Gorman to resign over his handling of the campaign. In Cork, the information is limited, but in Micheál Martin's constituency of Cork South Central, it does look like a resounding no, while in Cork South West, a tally of votes in Kinsale showed voters in favour of the family referendum, but voting against the care referendum. In Kerry, two miraculous medals flung out of the box from Blenerville, just outside Tralee, where there was a strong no vote recorded in tallies there, and indeed across the county. In Tipperary, in Matty McGrath's home patch of Care, just 10 votes out of 112 in a box there were turned yes votes in both referendums. Again, another strong no vote there. In Waterford, unofficial tallies estimate a no vote in most parts of the county, while in rural Kilmacthomas, 93.4% voted no in the family referendum. Into Leinster, Ciarán Kilkenny is indicating a 60-70% no on both questions, while in Kildare North, from rural parts of the constituency to commuter belts, it looks like the family referendum will be defeated by at least 2-1 and the care referendum by at least 3-1. In Laois Offaly, a box at Abbey Leaks indicated a 65-35% breakdown for no in both amendments. Longford West Meath looks like a no vote by 70%. The same in Louth, and again interesting in Meath, a resounding no right across the constituency from the commuter belts of Ashburn and Rathode and Kells in the more rural areas, all returning the same thing. Wexford looks rather similar too, with Labour TD Brendan Howland critical of the government's handling there, while in Wicklow it looks like a no vote across the board, although Greystones it looks like on a knife edge there. Finally to Dublin, miraculous medals again here in Dublin West, in the constituency of Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and indeed the Minister Roderick O'Gorman. 11 medals found among the ballots there. No much information on tallies. Dublin South Central, a strong no vote, while the box where Leo Varadkar actually voted yesterday showed 60% yes for the family vote and 63% no for the care referendum. Dublin Bay South, in Ballsbridge, 55% of voters in a box there voted no to the family referendum and 64% no to the care referendum. Unofficial tallies indicate, however, that the family referendum in Dublin Bay South could be not even the width of a cigarette paper between the votes there. The same in Dunleary, it looks like an even split on anecdotal evidence, while in Dublin Central they are tallying away there. In areas surrounding Glasnevin, it looks like a 60% no for the care referendum. The North Inner City, around 66% no, while in Cabra, tallies show a majority of 85% no for the care referendum, and similar in Finsbury, tallies showing actually 60% of a majority of yes for the family referendum. So a mixed picture there. In Dublin South West, boxes in more working class areas around Jobstown, heavily in the no camp, while evenly split around Rathfarnham. While in Dublin Fingal, the tallies there suggest 61% no for the care referendum and 67% no for the family referendum, with the no vote trending as high as 75% in the more rural part of the constituency around Lusk. So that's the picture right across the country. Mixed information, but the trend really rather clear.
All right, and whatever about Marian miraculous medals, it all sounds very St. Jude at this stage in terms of the Yes campaign. But what's the expectation in terms of a timeline for the national declaration of the results in both referendums?
Yeah, and mentioning the turnout as well, there was a surge, in particular tally reporters in the centre saying in more rural areas, 42-43% seems to be the figure that most returning officers are landing on that we have at the moment, although that is still to be finalised. So at least it will not break any records for low turnout, which had been predicted. In terms of the timeline, obviously staff have to break for dinner around now, and the usual timelines as things go on. Perhaps it's going to go a bit slower than anticipated. First counts could be landing in around 3 or 4 o'clock is what we're being told, and maybe after tea time or even beyond before everything is done and dusted.
Okay, Caislán Bhaileo, Cliath Barry Lennon, Gramíla Mahagat, we're going to bring you those results from the constituencies as they come through in the next 45 minutes or so. But first I'll introduce you to the political panel joining us in studio today. They're Peter Burke, Minister of State for European Affairs and Fine Gael TD for Longford West Meath, Eoin Óibrín, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Mid West and his party spokesperson on housing, and Marie Sherlock, Labour Party Senator and her party's Director of Elections for these two referendums. Just to say, first of all, to listeners, if they don't know already, you were all on the yes side in advance of the referendums. We will hear from people who were in the no campaign during the course of the programme. But to you first, Peter Burke, do you want to join the line of ministers conceding at this point?
Yeah, I think it's very clear that the public have given a very strong negative response to both referenda. I think, and I know, the Constitution is deeply held by the citizens of Ireland, and when the government gives them an opportunity to adjudicate on referenda, they do take it very seriously. And I did feel over the last week there was a significant change in terms of people looking at the information and making an assessment that they felt under both proposals that there was too much uncertainty surrounding them. And we have to respect the decision of the electorate, I think, and we have to look in a calm manner post referendum of firstly how we could do things better, and secondly in terms of the mechanisms that we employ to bring us those referenda, and in terms of how we adjudicate on that. I do think if you look at the roster of Yes campaigners and those advocates from political parties to NGOs, it's been quite significant and quite large. So it is a strong blow to the body politic. And I think we have to look and see in terms of how much some NGOs are reflective of the communities that we live in, because there have been very strong support in some quarters and many saying that, you know, it's very difficult to get a wording that there's absolute unanimity about. If you're talking about the care referendum, you're kind of saying strive on the one hand or take reasonable steps on the other. And if you're talking about in a time of economic constraint when budgets go low, is reasonable steps to cut disability, cut care, or is strive stronger where you're trying your hardest to have the strongest possible budget? So there are always going to be pros and cons, but the reality is the electorate made a clear and informed decision, and we from government have to listen to that decision.
You're kind of inverting the maxim that success has many parents and failure has an orphan there. You're sharing out the parental responsibilities.
We're all in the dock here, Colin, I think.
Just before, on the day before the people went to the polls, and this happened during the broadcast moratorium, if people are wondering why this wasn't heard on air, the Ditch acquired advice given by the Attorney General to Roderick O'Gorman. And it said, and it's quoted here, in the absence of clear guidance within the constitutional text or by way of legislation, it is difficult to predict with certainty how the Irish courts would interpret the concept of other durable relationships. Many people had asked in advance on the no side, If durable relationships as defined by law would be accepted as a referendum. I think Michael McDougall was the first to say that. And there were calls for accompanying legislation as had been done in other referendums. Now, if people weren't clear about the meaning of it, that's your fault, isn't it?
Well, I think there's always going to be risk when you go forward with terminology under the Constitution, because the Constitution is the overarching document. It is always going to be challenged. And we see in many Supreme Court decisions, there are invariably many times split decisions. So there, no matter what amendment we go forward to the Constitution,
sure, but
there is litigation risk with it.
You could have made your intentions clearer.
Well, I think in terms of our intentions, it was very clear that there's a large terminology and jurisprudence towards the term durable relationships. It's in a number of acts, from the 2004 Citizens' Rights Directive to the Qualified Cohabitants 2010 Act in this state, and it's akin to a de facto relationship. Now, people made an adjudication that there was too much uncertainty around that, and I respect that, because I think what we have to do is listen to the
electorate. Do you take any responsibility for that lack of clarity?
Absolutely. We all have to take responsibility. I'm not here trying to say that government did everything right. I think we have to acknowledge that the people have made the decision here.
So what did you do wrong? Because you came up with the wording, you chose the date, you put it to the people.
Well, it's not. We didn't in isolation come up with the wording. There has been a process in place from Citizens' Assembly on gender equality.
Well, you didn't
equality.
Use the Citizens' Assembly wording.
Absolutely, I'm clear that it's very aligned to it. As I pointed out, the wording from the Citizens' Assembly, if you go by and the committees in terms of having strive versus reasonable in the Care Amendment, both of them are open to interpretation. And in terms of protection not limited to a marital family in the Family Amendment, again, they are never, if everyone's really been honest here, neither action is free from litigation or legal challenge. And as I said, if you look at Supreme Court decisions right through the history of this state, they are invariably many times split decisions. So there's always going to be arguments on either side. But the government did its best. But we do have to reflect on this. You know, the people have spoken, and it's their constitution. It's their opportunity to make an adjudication on what we give them. And we will absolutely respect that.
All right. Owen O'Brien, your party advocated for a yes vote as well. But what's your reaction to what appears to be the result at this stage?
Well, first of all, it looks like the result is very clear and we fully accept the result and respect the views of the people with regard to the matter in front of them. I have to say it became increasingly clear to me during the last week or so that very clearly the Cares referendum was going to be defeated, and defeated significantly. You could see very, very strong interventions, particularly by people with disabilities, into the campaign that were, I think, very, very persuasive for huge numbers of people. And I do think, and I agree with commentary whereby the confusion of the language around the family did cause problems. What I would say is this, that the primary responsibility for the failure of both referendums lies with government. And I say that because government, one, ignored the considered views of the Citizens' Assembly. They ignored the considered views of the relevant Oireachtas Committee. They refused our request, as with other opposition parties, to have pre-legislative scrutiny where some of these issues of language could have been dealt with. And they ran a very poor campaign. From our point of view, when we sat down and looked at the propositions, and we've made all of these concerns and criticisms clear from the very start, we still took the view that we would support a yes, because we wanted to remove the very limited and outdated language from the Constitution. But you're almost fighting a campaign with one arm behind your back because of the failures of government. And government really needs to ask itself, time after time we've had citizens' assemblies. They've made very strong, very clear recommendations. And government has essentially thrown them in the bin. We're seeing that, for example, at the moment with the directly elected mayor in Dublin. We've seen it around issues of social economic rights and the right to housing, for example. So while obviously, I'm very disappointed that we're not having a conversation here today about changing the Constitution with a much more inclusive language around family, and where we could have had an opportunity to insert very, very strong, legally enforceable rights for
what
people
with disability.
What responsibility
do you take yourself? Because there wasn't a massive ground war fought by anybody in this campaign in terms of knocking on doors, putting leaflets through it. Are people just keeping their powder dry for the local and European elections? Is that why their heart wasn't in that kind
no,
of campaigning?
In fact, I'm canvassing multiple times a week at the moment, because the local elections and the European elections have already started. And what we did was rolled the referendum campaign and the conversation with people on the doors into that local and European campaign. In fact, I was out canvassing three times yesterday in three different parts of my own constituency. But we also have to be very, very clear. If government doesn't listen to the Assembly, to the opposition and to those key voices within communities affected by this. And if government goes on the kind of solo run that they did in this instance and impose a wording that very reluctantly, I think many of us accepted, and again, we were very honest about that from the outset, then I think you are fighting a referendum campaign with one arm behind your back. And the people have spoken. The people have to be respected. But the underlying issues, particularly the issues for carers and people with disabilities and the need for stronger legal and constitutional protections for those people, won't go away. And we're going to have to return to a proper conversation about, through services, through budgets and through legislative and constitutional change, how we start finally to do right by people with disabilities and those who care for them.
You were director of elections for your parties. Did you lose the map?
Absolutely not. Look, ultimately, I'm not surprised by the result. This was a complete failure by government to sell their own referendum to the public. Senior ministers disappeared during the course of this campaign. There was no clear message from government as to what these referendal changes to the constitution would actually mean. And I think people reacted to an arrogant Taoiseach who came out earlier this week and said that care isn't the state's responsibility. They reacted to a government who couldn't explain what a durable relationship is. And ultimately, I think people are angry and they're fed up and they wanted to give government a bloody nose.
The absence of accompanying legislation, could you have adequately described what a durable relationship was either?
Well, look, I think the key thing for us is, right, the Constitution right now only recognises families based on marriage. And we are very clear that in 21st century Ireland, we need to recognise the many types of families that are out there. And actually, as Owen said, this government, and we have to be very clear on this, this government had wording from the Citizens' Assembly, which it ignored. It had wording from the Gender Equality Committee, led by Ivana Bacic, which it ignored. It rejected our amendments in the Dáil and Shannon, right? But when faced with the choice, and bear in mind the referendum, it's not a negotiation.
So why did you back it?
So this is why I'm explaining. So it's not a negotiation. A referendum isn't a negotiation. It's 6 years since we last had a referendum in this country, okay? A referendum costs about 20 million euros. So when faced with a choice about whether do we want some reference.
No, but you're making a very compelling argument not to hold the referendum as it was held.
So the government insisted they were going to go ahead with this referendum, right? And every other party, bar one party in the Dáil, made a decision to back this.
Michael Fitzmaurice, who's part of the Independent Party
and the key issue here is we were faced with a decision. Do we want to have a more inclusive constitution that recognises all families or not? And today, at the end, when the votes are counted, we will not have a change to the definition of family in our constitution. Secondly, with regards to care, is some reference to care in our constitution better than none at all? And certainly we took the view that some reference is better than none. But ultimately, the key issue here is that this is not a negotiation where we can come back in 6 months' time or 12 months' time to change. You know, referendums don't happen all that often. And there is a very serious question now for government, given the bloody nose that was inflicted upon them today, what are they going to do in the face of such an enormous defeat? Because they didn't listen to people.
We'll come back to that. We want to talk to somebody who did campaign on the nose side. Former Taoiseach and former Minister for Justice, Michael McDougall, now Senator, of course. Michael McDougall, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
You no doubt welcome the verdict of the people. What do you put it down to?
Well, I put it down to the wisdom of the Irish people. It's their constitution. They were offered two dud amendments to it, and they said no by massive majorities.
At the family amendment, the durable relationship phrase that was there, that, do you think it was the confusion over that, or do you think it was, at its heart, an unwillingness to change the view of what a family should be in the constitution?
Well, I think, first of all, the phrase inclusive is used to describe dissolving the connection between family and marriage. I don't think that that's a fair description of it. But it wasn't confusion about it. Obviously, the government failed to define what durable relationship meant, but it made it clear what it hoped it would mean. And it would have meant a new system of family law where competing relationships of a transient kind between between people came to court to iron out their difficulties. It would have meant serious challenges to our family law system, to a succession law system, and to a whole lot of other areas of law, which is accepted in part by the text of the Attorney General's letter, which was leaked by government in the hope of shoring up the CARE referendum.
Well, we don't know the source of where the ditch acquired
that. It had to be in government because it was a letter to a government minister.
In terms of the people who are not now included in the constitution, who don't see themselves reflected in it, single parent families and others, what do you say to them today?
Well, I regarded it as emotional blackmail, people saying that children would be waking up this morning and thinking that they were somehow excluded by the Constitution. That's completely untrue. Single parents and their children are fully protected by the Constitution, and it was misinformation to suggest that they weren't. What they wanted to do was to say that relationships in which people
Where
came
are they,
together...
Where are they explicitly called a family in the Constitution, then?
They're not, but they are individual citizens with equality before the law. And the children articles, Article 42A, made all children's rights equal.
But in terms of families, they are not families according to the Constitution.
They're not families within the definition of the Constitution for the very, very good reason that if you accord special privileges to families, and they do have special privileges, and most people understand why they have those privileges above temporary relationships between couples and the like, the simple fact that we didn't widen the definition of family was well understood by the people because they could see what was happening here. They were saying effectively that the state was now becoming indifferent as to whether you're married or not. And when you marry, you undertake obligations not only to your spouse, but also to any children that you may be lucky enough to have. And you can't dissolve a marriage except by getting a divorce, and you can't get a divorce without satisfying a court that you've made proper provision for the parties to the marriage you're trying to end. None of that would apply to these durable relationship short-term affairs.
Just on the CARE referendum, which again you opposed, and you mentioned there the Attorney General's advice that was reported by The Ditch. The Attorney General in the text advised that the CARE amendment was likely to result in litigation in the courts, and the courts would be minded perhaps to make declaratory orders on behalf of vulnerable people in hard cases. Now, that's not what your side of the referendum was saying in advance. Do you accept that there could have been a case that people, by including the inclusion of carers in the referendum, might have derived some benefit from it on seeing that advice?
Well, I put this to you. Firstly, that letter was leaked on the eve of polling. It was leaked for a particular purpose, which was to suggest that the CARE referendum wasn't as toothless as I believe it would have been. And it was welcomed. It's leaking. And
it was a badly timed leak in that case because it missed the broadcast moratorium.
No, it was intended to miss the broadcast moratorium, and because you'd have had to have me on to discuss it with you. It was intended to influence the print media, and that's what it was targeted at. And by the way, it was the content of the letter was immediately welcomed by Green Party candidates.
Okay. Do you expect that this is the end of the matter? Or do you think that there could be a rerun of this referendum or a rerun with adjusted wording as per, say, the Citizens' Assembly or the Committee on Gender Equality?
Well, the first thing I said, and I wrote this in an article in the Irish Times a couple of months ago, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. There is nothing in the present constitution which in any way is damaging or counterproductive. It's fine. It's working perfectly at the moment. And the second thing is that there were particular effects, for instance, of taking out the reference to the role of women in the home and the recognition of mothers, which have those clauses have been relied on by the Supreme Court to guarantee that women who are in separation proceedings or in divorce proceedings are not required to go out of the home on work against their wishes, if their wish is to continue parenting in the home. So there was actual positive damage being promised on the one hand, and no improvement on the other. And I respect the people. Every single person's ballot paper is as valuable as everybody else's. And this suggestion now that it's all to do with confusion or a failure to communicate. I was on countless radio programmes where these things were discussed, and so were my colleagues, Tom Clonan and others. We went head to head with ministers. We discussed all of these issues, and we did our level best to bring to the Irish people our view of what was wrong with these referenda. Now you're being told that it was all to do with some kind of PR flop by government. And I do have to say one thing.
All right, very briefly, if you would, thanks. Yeah.
Can I just finish one point? That if all the opposition parties who said that they had worries about this referendum had actually got together and said to the government, if you go ahead with this defective wording, we will oppose it, the government would have backed down. But instead, they like sheep, went through the gate ended up supporting wording which they themselves thought was defective.
All right, Michael McDougall, Gramila Margot, Tomich Consus, Ahogal, Bemijarash, Tereshin.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.